This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
Boom goes the Trim Healthy Podcast. That is enters your... Okay.
No, keep going. Do not edit that, Tim. He's like falling all over the carpet. Keep going, damn boy.
Let me try that again. Boom goes the Trim Healthy Podcast as it enters your speakers. It's Serene, Pearl, and Danny. We're so glad that we have dropped into your earbuds again this beautiful day.
And you know what we realized? We were talking about how we just reached the three-year birthday mark for the podcast, right?
We've been doing this 3 years.
Yeah, and Danny said that's the first time he's ever done anything for three years. Except your marriage, and
which I've been married 19 years.
Awesome, Danny.
Four kids.
But career-wise, Danny.
Yeah, career-wise, I've never done anything for longer than two.
Hey, talking about marriage, I just want to say something really beautiful and really quickly, you know, because I'm going to talk about Israel today because I just got back. But just like going like fast forward a little bit, one of my places we went into Israel was Galilee to this lady who was a long-lost friend of our sister, Vange. And Vange was like, check up on her husband died a couple of years back and I just don't know how she's doing, blah 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 blah, and she's a secular Jew anyway, and so we found her and we're just like, how are you doing? And she's like, I can't breathe, my shooky, that was her husband, my shooky, he's passed and I can't live on, I can't, nothing is worth living for, and she doesn't have God. And then she's like, I thought we'd grow old together, and she's already like 75, but growing old to her was 90s
all
and
the
100s
way.
But it just broke my heart just of the beauty of marriage and what a close relationship we all can have.
Yes.
And they worked together. They're restaurant owners and they have this boats that they put out in the Sea of Galilee, party boats. Anyway, so they were with each other all the time. She's like, we were married for 50-something years. And she said, but really it was 100. Because some people, you know, they see their spouse when they come home from work, but we were there every minute of the day. So we twice our years.
Aww.
It was just beautiful. And I was bawling because I'm just like, that's love. That's what it's designed to be. You know, they'd been married all this time and she wasn't sick of him. She couldn't live without him.
Did she say all this in Hebrew or in English?
No, in broken English, in a very sabra, which is the word that you say for native Israelis, in a very dramatic, they speak very flamboyantly.
Yeah, when you said
she's
to
pointing
me,
her.
You were like, I cannot live without him.
Yeah, I know. And then, yes, I won't say all that she said.
The Spanish are that way.
There were some curse words.
There were some curse words.
Yeah.
Because her husband ended up dying and she, you know, of course, was not a believer in Jesus. But she said the first time she prayed was when he was dying.
You tell her the story. She said she prayed to Jesus,
and
right?
She said, if you heal my husband right now, I'll believe in you. And she was great friends with Bibi Netanyahu, the president. And he said, oh, you're praying to Jesus? Well, I'll believe too if Shuki doesn't die. And she said, Shuki died, so it's all BS.
Yeah, she said the words.
That was her.
And I was like, I didn't know what to say. And I'm like, well, blessed. Because she's like, he didn't bless me. I said, well, blessed is other people that believe without seeing, because that's scripture.
Oh, you hit her with it.
Yeah, she's quiet, walked off. But she was a sweet lady who fed us all the white rice, white noodles, white Jesus bread. She had a restaurant and she just loaded us up high for free. And my children, she opened up her kiosk of ice creams. So was forcing the ice creams down my children's throat to bless us. And I'm like, hey, this is health food because this is blessings.
Love,
this is from love and love can't hurt. So I was just letting my children lick the Spider-Man die.
Well, love could hurt if it was every night.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was once in a lifetime.
Okay, mate. So you kind of thrust into my
I do not know what Serene's going to talk about today. I keep saying, Serene, what are you talking about?
Her journal is open.
She's got a journal.
Let me say something about old Rini.
Yeah,
Dan. Rini. Hey, you know it. Did you know my nickname from my mum and brothers and sisters was Rini?
Rini?
Yeah, or Rini Beanie.
You are just such a hot person that you pulled it. You pulled Rini out of your heart.
I sense the invisible things of love.
Yeah. Very few people call me Rini.
Yeah, I was raised by a woman.
That's true.
I have an intuition most men don't have.
Yeah.
Danny's one of those people. Well, obviously,
another 25
cents raise.
Obviously, we're like, I was about to say the obvious. Danny's one of those people that can really talk with women.
Do other
if you're having painful periods, you can still talk to Dan.
My wife used to have a problem with that until I started getting paid on the Trim Healthy podcast. And she's like, well, look, it's a gift after all.
No, isn't this funny though, Dan? So many rabbit trails today, but just,
let's go.
Let's just call this a whole rabbit trail
just
party.
Isn't this a celebration of 3 years of rabbit trails?
Yeah,
so cannot we rabbit trail today?
Dan, before it was even a twinkle in our eye that we'd ever have a podcast where you'd be here, you know, making a little tad few bucks with us. as a job?
25 cents.
Anytime we'd meet you, and it's like we'd go from visiting with the woman, get away from those women. We'd go talk to Dan. Yeah. Dan would gravitate from the men who were like talking bearing man stuff. And we'd go gravitate to Dan, and we'd just like, he's really interesting.
We always did podcasts with him
before there was a podcast. There was a podcast.
Yeah, I have a few male friends that I can have a long conversation with. I mean, I met a friend yesterday for lunch at noon. We talked until 7 p.m.
It's a gift after all, Dan.
Whoa. 7 p.m. 7 hours felt like 30 minutes. Wow. But that's rare. Usually guys are like, burr, 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 burr,
that's my
burr.
Husband.
And I'm just like, oh my gosh, get me out of here.
But you know, you were saying deets, something. And the details like woman bring.
But didn't you, didn't
Jim, oh yeah, I was going to talk about Rini. Oh, Rini. I love that she journals. I used to journal, you know, back in the day.
I wish I journaled. You were intuitive about the name, Rini, but I don't journal.
No, don't say you don't, because I'm looking at a journal.
I have seven. Yeah, but it's got a very few pages filled.
You just don't want to identify as a journalist.
No, I want to. I've brought 25 beautiful journals from Hobby Lobby, yeah. Leather-fronted, okay. All the beautiful, inspirational covers.
Me
and
too.
They're empty. And I have New Year's resolution every year. I just write a few points sometimes to bring to the party if I think I'll forget. I didn't journal in Israel. I never wrote down thing.
Oh, so this was after you've come home?
Yeah, because I couldn't. I had toddlers with diarrhea.
So, folks, we don't know what's going to come out of Serene's mouth. It might be totally politically
incorrect. And it
incorrect.
May not even be about health. Mm. It's just, hey, this podcast is rabbit trails sometimes. It's about our life. Mm. And, hey, if you hate it, switch us off.
Come on, turn us off.
That's the boldness of a successful podcast.
Okay, so I've been to many countries of the world, and God made every country and every nation, and it's all wonderful, and I love it, and I just want to see. I want to go to Peru, Pearl. That's
we
next.
Are next, mate.
Oh, yeah.
Good job, God.
Yeah, good job, God. But there's something about Israel. And I went when I was 13. My parents used to be our parents, I should say. You have the same parents, Pearl, did you know? With two guys, I went when I was 13, and it was deeply moving. But this time, being older, it's changed my life forever.
Whoa.
Like forever. Incredible. Israel is the center of the geographic earth. It's the center. If you look at a map that's put out, you know, like not a globe, but if you look at a printed map, it's the center of the earth. It's also the center. It's a spiritual climate. The center of the spiritual climate of the world.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And you can kind of sense where the spiritual climate of the world is going by what's happening in Israel. It's a prophetic country. It's a prophetic nation. You know, it was amazing going there. We stayed in Jerusalem overlooking the Mount of Olives. And that's where Jesus ascended from. And that's where he will return. And overlooking the Temple Mount where the temple was. Now it's a mosque. But absolutely amazing, incredible country. I mean, at different times in the morning, you're going to hear the call to the prayer of the Muslim prayer. You're going to hear the shofars of the Jews. Mm-hmm. You're going to hear the bells of the Orthodox Catholics. It's just all very strongly stirring in a pot there. Mm-hmm. And we had an incredible time. Just on a lighthearted note, we all got sick. The Hartman family, you heard maybe if you were listening to the podcast about Moringa.
Yeah.
And how Daniel Hartman and how he does the plan, rocks it as a man. They came with us. There was 10 of us all together and we all dropped like flies, throwing up, diarrhea.
When you got there?
Yeah, from the day we got there. Each one had their own day.
Diarrhea. Oh, so it wasn't all the same sick. It was like you all took your days.
All took our days.
Oh, that's bad.
And my babies really took their days. It was just constant throwing up. But I went minimalist, remember?
Yeah.
And so remember we went minimalist to New Zealand and, you know, the one throw up wrecked the trip for the whole trip. Well, this was constant throwing up. And I brought the wool, right?
Right.
So it's not like you just chuck it in the washing machine on normal settings. It's got to be hand washed, hung up. But in Jerusalem,
this has got to put
it was
people
so
off
cold.
Minimalism.
We went in winter. It's freezing over there and it's like a wet, damp cold. Like my quick dry underwear never dried. So how are the big woolies
hold
of the
on,
children?
Hold on, I got a question for you. So you're putting on damp underwear in the morning
yes.
and then you mentioned diarrhea and throw
up. I mentioned Yes, but don't go to the places that you're going to go.
Why do you have to say damp underwear?
Hold on. I want to know all the particulars. People don't really want
people
to
don't need to know particulars about Rini. Okay, just stay off the particulars.
No, but was there there's damp underwear and was it extra damp from diarrhea?
Why do we have to do it?
I want to know the truth.
All I can see is Ace Ventura coming out of the rhino.
I did have my turn of being sick and I did have diarrhea. Now, we were walking the streets of Jerusalem for a full day. Dan, you lose your raise if you like bail
you
out.
Don't
early.
Walk out now, Dan.
Well, okay, I did get diarrhea. I was holding and holding. And at the end of the day,
I don't need to know the hold. The tension of the hold.
There was
I don't
a lot
need
of tension in Jerusalem, a lot of spiritual tension, and a lot of intestinal tension. And I felt some intestinal tension that I thought was just a fuff.
Never trust it.
Calls flatulence.
Hey,
fuss.
If you're over 38, you don't trust not one of them.
Hey, I've got a great muscle.
No, you don't.
I do.
Sphincter. Yours
muscle?
Isn't special.
The good old sphinx of and Cairo, I feel
like,
Egypt.
And I feel like very the good. End of the story is going to tell us how it isn't special.
I don't pee. I've had 9 babies. I've never had a peeing problem, even though I jump on the trampoline. I thought I was safe. So
not
I'm like testing out the fuff.
A small leak every now
it
and
it was
again.
A wrong move.
Where were you?
In the streets of Jerusalem.
No.
Just passing.
It was a holy moment.
You know, the Jewish man with the big top hats and the curly side
so
curls.
So you had to walk 500 miles home.
3 miles, I still had to go, and each step was a little squishy. My 4-year-old also had diarrhea that day, and he was asking for the potty, sweet boy, and every potty we went to, because it was Sabbath, was closed.
Oh, no. The two of you were diarrhea.
There's no pooing on the Sabbath when you're in town in the Orthodox city. So I was dragging, and remember, I didn't want him to get lost, so I had him on a leash. Don't write letters. This was safety. This was love to my child. I had him on a little leash.
Yeah, humankind leash, not a dog leash.
No, a humankind leash. Specifically made for humans. It even had a cute little backpack with a puppy face on it.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those. They're cute.
They're cute.
Yeah, that's not embarrassing.
I was dragging him with his diarrhea.
And you were diarrhea.
And I was diarrhea.
Oh,
but I
no.
got home and washed up and
we
never
lost
dried.
How many thousand viewers then?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But listen, okay. this trip was incredible. None of that could quench just the I don't know, something that was birthed inside of me.
But I
want
to know this. Okay, I want to get to the meat and the glory and the spiritualness. But could you look at Sam walking with diarrhea? And could you look at your husband?
Yes, I had a very intimate moment with him because...
What? Hold on. What?
No, don't go there.
No, I'm not.
I just meant I had a soul talk with him because he's always had that issue. Like if he has a bug, it's not throw up. It's always a little bit of a... I thought it was a fluff.
Okay.
Hey, you know? Serene, did you do a special walk?
No, I just said to him, you know your problem, Sam, I think that became mine.
And did he look at you with kind
with
eyes?
With very kind, compassionate eyes.
See, if I had the diarrhea in my pants, I couldn't look at my husband. I'd want to run far away.
Hey. Was it a volume? Was it voluminous?
No, it wasn't. It's just a, with the deets.
Was it just
people?
A tiny squirt? Just
I'm
a little
not
girl?
Going there.
Was it just
a
little
need
cute
to know that
a little
the
cute girl squirt? Little cutie, little
Oh, man. Okay, I'm sorry. No more questions. Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene. This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y. Listen, we need to get to the glory of this. No, Israel was incredible. There's a lot of things that were in my mind that are now in my heart. You can't throw a stone over there and not like it land on a Bible story.
Oh,
you know,
right,
like
right.
Totally incredible. I mean, we went to the Garden of Gethsemane, which was huge and moving for me because my grandchild is named Gethsemane through all that they walked through. New peeps in the room. My son, you know, battled cancer and they didn't think they'd ever have a child. And they finally were blessed with this child, which was totally prayer birthed into flesh. And they named the baby Gethsemane. And amazing. But then we went there and we videoed all that for them. And then we went to the Skull Hill, Golgotha. And it's all there, people. It's all there. It's just like you read about it in the Bible and it's like, okay, this is wonderful. I know it's not fairy tales. I know it's real. But being there, it's like it's real. And then we went to the Garden Tomb there's places where they think it could be. In the Garden Tomb, people are like, we're not saying this totally is it. There's an Orthodox church, like all like fancy schmancy, gold plated and everything. And you can just feel that it's not it. And then there's this beautiful garden. You can tell it was a rich man's because his tomb had more than one place for the dead. And there was a wine press which showed it was a garden, and there's still pomegranates going in and a place where the wine would be. And it was just totally, and it was right by the Skull Hill Golgotha. And you can see this big trough where the big large stone would be rolled away. It's just, we were in tears. It's real. It's true. It was amazing. And then we went to the mountains of Samaria, which is amazing, which Samaria and Judea are the West Bank. And the West
Bank. Everyone said, when you left, there was a lot of world tension. Okay, there was a lot of people thought World War III is starting to happen with the missiles, you know, and America and Iran were having tension. The morning you left, there was a high alert saying, do not travel if you do not have to Israel, and definitely do not go to the West Bank.
Yeah, and you
thousands of people praying for you, Serene. Bye, Leslie. Leslie has to leave. Popsies.
Yeah, and I actually thought too, I was a little bit afraid before going because I'm like, oh, you know, Israel's usually probably a tense place, but isn't this going to be even more of a heightened danger? But when we were there, I felt so safe. I felt more safe there than in America.
Really?
You know, you can go to Walmart and get blown up in America. Mm-hmm. You can go to the movies and get blown up. You can go to school and get blown up, you know? I felt so safe. There's IDF soldiers, everyone, when they turn 18, that are Israeli citizens, have to join the army. And what's amazing is they have fully loaded, like bazooka-looking, huge, long, black guns. There's just soldiers everywhere. And there's just a safety. I don't know. I felt safe. But the West Bank is where you're told not to go. But the West Bank is the heart. I used to think it was like on the outskirts of Israel, like some kind of borderline place you shouldn't go. It's the heartland of Israel. And so we went and stayed with this incredible family, the Wallers, from Ha Yovel is their ministry, and it actually means jubilee in Hebrew. And a restoration kind of the heartland of Israel. But it's amazing. So they work there in a very, what the world would consider a very dangerous place, right on the Mount of Blessing above Shechem. So this is an amazing thing about being in Israel. There's so much history. We went to Shiloh, which is right there below in the area of Samaria, below the Mount of Blessing. It's where the tabernacle was. Before the temple was built in Jerusalem, the children of Israel and the tribes, they had a tabernacle, and they'd bring their offerings and they'd bring them in pottery, but they'd break the pottery because the pottery was seen as holy too, and they wouldn't take it back to where they were, where the tribes were living. But everywhere you walk near Shiloh, there's pottery all over the ground. So you read this in the story and you're right there, 2020, and you're stumbling over pottery. And the Waller boys, some of them married now, amazing family. There's 11 children, and a lot of them are part of the excavation digs now. They've excavated. You go down these layers and layers of history, and you see Bible just appear before your eyes. It's just revealed, like you're opening the pages, and it's just jumping forth in real life. And it was just so. I just have to talk about it because it was just so gone from my mind, and I knew it in my heart, and I know, and I open the Bible and I just know that it's speaking to me. Now, I'm not a Jew, right? But I know I'm grafted in because the seed of Abraham, you know, is us by faith, right? We can be grafted in because it was faith that was the covenant, you know, that Abram had. He had the faith. It was by faith, not by works, not by the law, right? And so we are grafted in by that. And so I know when I read the Bible that, you know, all this applies to me too, but we cannot not see that there is a real land and a real people, you know, a real kin. You know, there's a DNA, Jewish people that are
yeah,
chosen.
Absolutely. There was one tribe though. There's 12 tribes and a lot of them scattered to the
nations.
Yeah, they're scattered.
They have to come back.
Exactly.
And that's the incredible
thing. That's a part of that.
Totally.
You know?
I totally agree with that. But even those that aren't, mm-hmm. we are grafted in. So we can all be children of Israel.
Yeah,
right? But he
came
to Israel. He was born in Israel. His feet left from the Mount of Olives, and they will return. And so it felt incredible being there, feeling the history, but being there, knowing the future. And, you know, there's the when his feet, it says in the Bible, where his feet touches the Mount of Olives, then he's going to walk through the is it the Western Gate? And and the mountain's going to split in two and the water's going to gush out and bring the Dead Sea to life. Unbelievable stuff.
Did you swim in the Dead Sea?
Yes. Swam in the Dead Sea, which is incredible because the Dead Sea is in the area of Gomorrah, Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's where Lot chose that area because he said, this is the part that's going to be more beautiful for me to feed my flocks because it's lush and it's fertile. But what is it? The place of the Dead Sea and place of the desert. The Dead Sea wasn't dead. Isn't that amazing? But you see, it was all cursed. Sodom and Gomorrah was cursed. So you go over there and you're a part of it. You see this dry, barren place, as beautiful as it is. But it's just amazing being part of what I've read my whole life and saying, it's not some foreign thing out there, kind of like all oogly boogly. It's real. It's tangible. And it was just incredible to be touching and feeling and walking these places that were all in my mind, and now it's so real and so tangible, and I just had to share it.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene. This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
What was your biggest takeaway?
My biggest takeaway is that I believe as a believer that I'm connected to Israel. I know that in the Bible it says, you know, first in the natural and then in the spiritual. And whenever I read the Bible as a Christian, I would take it very spiritually, which is so for me and so there. But I think I disconnected it from the literal too. And I think it was so incredible to just go there and think, okay, his feet are going to touch back here.
Yeah.
Touch back here, right here in Jerusalem. And these mountains have to be restored before he's coming back. This prophecy has to be fulfilled. Foreigners are going to come to the West Bank, to Judea and Samaria. And the mountains are going to be filled with wine. And it was just incredible, incredible experience. So that was my takeaway, that Christians have, a lot bigger part to play than we realize in Israel, because, you know, there's something special. He's connected. He made the whole earth, people, but there's a connection to Israel, and it's the heart of the earth.
You never felt unsafe over there?
Never. I didn't feel unsafe when we went.
Well, didn't you say one day, though, you got lost and they were like...
I mean, there was some iffy moments, totally. Yeah. Yeah, we got lost and we didn't really have a tour guide. Yeah. And we went to borders that were like really freaky and with barbed wire everywhere and like little like concrete gutted out places with bullet holes all through them. And, you know, there's some pretty crazy places, but I don't know. I just felt safe, even though it was scary. I mean, when we were with the amazing Walla family, that just, hey, shout out to them. They just put the red carpet out for us, and they're so busy doing incredible work over there, and they just really treated us like royalty. But anyway, they took us everywhere. And he said, hey, the first year my wife was here, right here at this roundabout here in Shechem, we were pulled over to the side of the road because this 13-year-old boy was found with a bomb strapped to him, and he was trying to get through the border to go to Tel Aviv and like blow himself up and everybody up. So, I mean, it's very real. The dangers are very real, but I felt safe. I mean, there's a lot of beautiful families over there. Yeah. And just the Jewish people and the Arabic people, they're beautiful. They have beautiful families.
Yeah.
And on a whole, I think just everybody's trying to get along.
Yeah.
You know, I think the media.
The people that live there are trying to get along.
I think there are definitely the terrorists out there that are just filled with hate, but that's not every Arab.
No.
I think the Arabs are trying to really, they enjoy Israel being a state because it's brought a lot of prosperity to them. Because they make a lot more money through the Israeli people, and the Israeli people
and
really take care
too,
of the land,
right?
And the tourism too. Yeah. And so I really feel like, we really felt beautifully welcomed by the Jewish people and the Arabic people. And I just want to say, hey, you know, maybe you want to take a trip.
Yeah, because all of this is saying you think everyone should go to Israel, right?
No, I just feel like we have a lot of people that aren't believers who are listening, hey, go to Israel, because I'm telling you, the falafel It's out of this world.
Yeah, we need to talk about the food.
The markets, the pomegranates, the fresh dates, the spices, people, just the culture. I mean, there was people from all nations there, from Germany, from Holland, from China, Chinese people there. Just, it's a great place to visit as far as history and culture and food. Oh, yeah, it's a go. As a believer, Danny, take Lisa and even your children. As believers, I feel like we have this connection because – listen, I'm starting to read the Bible from Genesis again. Since being there, I'm like, oh, wow, I have to just start from the beginning again. Yeah. I have to just start.
I want to go next May.
This is the place where it all began.
Next May,
this is the place where God.
Yeah, because Serene went in December. There's no way I want to go in the cold. I don't want to go in the cold place, and I don't want to get diarrhea. Two of the things I want to cross ever. Out.
But listen, this is the place where God covenanted with Israel. This is the place in the natural where it all began. It's the place in the natural where
can
it's all going to culminate.
Can I get a bit natural culminate. Now? Yes. Since you got spiritual for a while, which was great, and I'm all about that. Can we get natural about the food then? What did you eat?
Hey, I want to tell you something else. I'm sending Cherish, one of my daughters, over for 3 months to work on the hills.
Awesome.
And to start working on and harvesting the grapes.
Yeah.
Oh, mate. I'm so excited.
So what were the things that you ate?
Hummus. I feel like I am one bowl of hummus. Uh-huh. You know, because I love hummus so much, but hummus over here, hummus is how you meant to say it over there. Hummus over here is a little bit Americanized. It's just so much more rich. I think they put more tahini over there. I think over here we cheapskate and just want to make a buck and put
in
less of the
And you're using sort of
stuff.
More beans over here rather than tahini.
Yeah,
in there.
I'm telling you, it's richer.
There's a more S-like, right?
Ooh, yes, it's so rich. And they pour olive oil over and spices it, and then just straight tahini in the center of it. It's all swirled. It's like hummus,
what did you dip into the hummus?
Well,
with?
You know, there was the Jesus bread, the white pea and whatever. But I brought like sourdough bread from the local health food store. It's really healthy over there. Yeah. Like you can get all the health food.
And you're saying there's lots of vegetables.
The fresh cucumbers I was just dipping in and dipping in. But I just was so in love with it. I just got a spoon and ate it like soup. I am hummus. Like, it's coming out of my eyes and my ears right now.
Lovely.
Okay, tahini and the olive oil is like nothing. It's like when you went to Italy, Pearl, I'm sure. It's like the places where it's freshly pressed.
It's a different thing.
And it's just, it's kind of so part of their culture and DNA. They just know how to do it right. That was amazing. Oh, and the cashews.
Oh, you brought me some that had the skin on. That's the best cashew I've ever had in my life.
They keep the red, the skin on. And
do you have any on you?
No, Pearl, I didn't bring any in my little zippy purse. Mm. And they're slightly salted and roasted, but not very too salted, but they're just amazing and they're hard and crunchy. Did you notice that?
Yes, that's what I love.
Let me tell you about the other food too. Yeah, what I noticed too, and I said it on the podcast prior to this, is vegetables. People eat salad for breakfast, majorly, on all the breakfast buffets.
I can't get down. I can do sauteed veggies for breakfast, but I don't like cold salad.
Oh, and eggplant, people? Grilled eggplant with tahini all over it for breakfast. It's
very
a
very healthy lifestyle.
Shakshuka is like such an incredible breakfast over
Describe
there.
Describe shakshuka because if you're one of our member site people, actually, is it on Google? No, go to our member site. Serene and I have a video on Serene making shakshuka, which is basically eggs and tomatoes.
Yeah, but it's like amazing. It's at the top of the breakfast. Like if you, what do you call it? You know, what's the normal word? Menu. Thank you.
Menu, yeah.
Menu. It's at the top of the menu for breakfast, shakshuka.
So did you have that every day?
Oh, yes, I did.
And it's a...
It's like a spicy tomato sauce, but like with little bits of a whole tomato and harissa, like pepper. They call the pepper harissa. You don't have to get with harissa, but feta cheese. And they break the eggs into it while it's sauteing and bubbling. And so the eggs... They poach fry in the sauce and then they put feta all over it. And if you want to cross over, they would give you crusty bread, which you dip into the melty yolk and amazingness.
So like and almost like an eggy marinara.
Olives on the side with tahina dressing on the side. And then always a salad. Always a salad
really,
for breakfast.
Even for breakfast.
Totally. And salad, like their falafel stand. That would be their McDonald's.
Yeah.
Okay, they had the falafels there. But
did they have McDonald's there?
But they... Yes, they do. But hey, there's no meat and cheese together.
Oh,
so
right,
all the pictures of the burgers, there's no cheese hanging out, no luscious cheese melting off the side of the meat.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene. This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
Okay, so that's what you said. If you go to a restaurant in Israel, it's either cheese-based or meat-based, correct?
Right, so it's either all your fetches, or your lebnas, or your dairy.
Or but your Sam meat. Got sent out of restaurants because he brought cheese into
a meat
place,
Well, we went to this little
right?
health food store and we bought lovely kefir and a bunch of granola just to have a little crossover snack. We was ready for something hearty. And so we thought we'd eat it out in this little, it looked like a park bench. But there must have been a restaurant that kind of considered that part of their property still. And like, he's like, oh, so sorry. We'll lose our license if you don't leave because you're having dairy and we serve meat.
Oh, wow. So in the McDonald's, they'll just choose meat rather than cheese. So
and I was in a restaurant and it was a salad place and they had different cheeses and I was having feta on my salad. And then Sam came in with a shawarma, which is another classic fast Israeli fast food, full of salad and like chicken done in a way that's kind of what we'd call, they carve it off one of those things?
Yeah, like kebab type.
No, what do you call that stuff? Gyros. It's kind of like a chicken gyros, but more curried flavor. And he was just holding it, thought he'd sit by me, and he got really quickly ushered out.
Really?
They asked him to leave?
We went to this one restaurant, to the place in Galilee where that lady I was talking about, how lovely she missed her husband and how she treated us to this incredible meal. She owned this restaurant. It was Sabbath. And we were so hungry, and she brought us into a restaurant. All lights were off, and she couldn't turn the lights on. She hid us in the corner. She said, stay here. If the rabbi's going to come and check that my gas burners aren't warm, my gas plate, my stove
the
plates
rabbis
aren't
come and
warm.
Check.
Because if they're even warm and he thinks we've slightly started to cook yet, I'll lose my license.
Yeah, the rabbis are in charge over there.
They're like the political.
If she wants to keep it kosher, but her 90% of her business, her weddings, the bar mitzvahs, the bat mitzvahs, that's the Jewish 13-year-old birthday, which I love. Listen, where the children become basically young men and young women. There's no teenage situation. They don't believe in being a teenager. It's like 0 to 13 and you're a child. And then from 13 or older, you're a man or you're a woman. You're a young man or a young woman. And so maybe that's why these incredible IDF soldiers who are all young people are just so responsible walking around with their big ammunition and just like really really straight up and down
as
people.
Men.
Yeah, men and
in their mind, they're a man.
Yeah.
They're not waiting to
be a man.
For some special day when they're
it's not this limbo movement where I have so many years to just be an idiot.
Yeah. It's so true. Isn't teenagehood a license to be an idiot these days?
Yeah. Well, people adults are even like, oh, you know, the old teenage brain.
Yeah, I know. Like, we've said that. Yeah, I've got, oh my goodness, help me. I've got three teenagers in the home. I have loved
having teenagers.
But
listen, if you love markets, you got to go to Israel. I think it's called the Shuk in Israel. Oh, spices like mounded up like pyramids. And I love incense too, and beautiful frankincense and myrrh incense.
And it's a very passionate place, and you are a passionate person.
Yes, and there was people fighting. And I'll be like, oh, I spoke to the people that were like showing us around, some friends that live over there. And I'm like, oh, are they mad at each other? She's like, no, they'll be off at coffee in 10 minutes enjoying each other. They'll be best friends. They're very passionate people. They're very outspoken and they're very emotional.
Yeah.
But it's just the way they relate to each other.
My Spanish people are similar to
that. Yeah, Spanish. And when we went to Italy, it was like that too.
Yeah.
And I want to say one more thing.
Because we've got to go.
Going on the plane over there, flying from New York, and because there's a lot of Jewish people in New York, going over to Tel Aviv. There were the like very religious Jewish older men with the big beards and the prayer shawls and the big long side curly things. And they would do this doffening where they would like tie these things around their arms. I think it probably comes from that scripture, to bind them to your whatever.
Bind my words to my self.
And they put this thing to the forehead. You know, it's all, they're kind of all acting out, you know, just putting the word in to them. But anyway, that's not my culture. That's not my belief, even though I just really respect them as a people group, totally. And they serve the same God that I serve, even though I really am thankful to know Jesus. But I was really inspired by them because I thought, hey, you know, I was really enjoying the plane breakfast because it was Israeli.
Yeah.
It was like a shakshuka breakfast on the plane. I was so enjoying it. But before they even ate breakfast, there was these older guys and these women, and they'd put these shawls over them and they were like back and forth. You know how you rock a baby and you kind of like go back and forth? They were holding the word and rocking back and forth and like saying it over and over. But it was not like you could, I'm sure there's some that just do it out of a robotic like works thing and they're just doing it because they feel like they have to. But I saw delight in their heart. And you know how it says in the Psalms, David said, oh, I delight in your word. And it's like more than honeycomb, you know, it's just, and I just saw that and it really inspired me. Okay, so I know Jesus and I was just inspired to not like be all like that, but to just be more delighting. I know I delight in God's word, but I just kind of felt like I was just inspired by their beautiful love for the word. And I think I've been in that place in my life, and I've just been really inspired by Pearl too and her husband, who just love the word too. Mm-hmm. And you always say, you know, I love to be flamboyant in my praise, Pearl.
Yes.
And so I've gone to churches that have been very much that way. And Pearl's like, but make sure, Serene, this is before Dad did his church in basement. Make sure, Serene, they're all about the word, because Pearl and her husband Charlie are very much about the word. And that's what I wanted to bring back and tell you too, that I'm just inspired even more to just be about the word, because we have a revelation of the second part of the Bible, right? And just how much out of what they have and what they hold, how much they delight in it. And I saw it so inspiring to me.
Wow. That's amazing. I'm inspired too. I'm going to go, Dan, we're going to close it up, eh?
It's just time to say goodbye. I mean, it was story time.
It was.
With Serene and her trip for Israel. And I thought it was beautiful. And I always pictured it as a dusty old desert. And now I don't.
Yeah.
Probably change your life too, Dan. You come back preaching.
Come back preaching.
Hey, you might be of the tribe of Dan, Dan.
Yeah, I bet you are of the tribe of Dan.
Of the tribe of Dan, Dan.
Yeah. See you guys.
Goodbye, friends. Trim off your mom on my way. And then I'll be trim off in